One of the reasons why I want to speak about it is because one of the good things to do, you know, Elul, getting ready for Rosh Hashanah already. So, you know, it's a time really for basics in a certain way. And, one of the most basic things that obviously a Jew has to know are what the mitzvahs are. Sounds funny, you know. Sometimes in life what happens is we get ready for Rosh Hashanah and you hear all this hashkofa and Kavol Malchus Shemayim and, you know, everybody gets into Malchus Shemayim. In the end, you know, nobody ever really knows what the mitzvahs are. Half the mitzvahs don't even read. They don't even know what they are, what they've done, you know. So, Ol Malchus Shemayim means to have all mitzvahs. I do the mitzvahs. That's the Iker of Kabbalah, it's Ol Malchus Shemayim. I'm going to do the mitzvahs. I'm going to do them. And then give it a shot, you know. So, what are the mitzvahs? Now, not only that, but there's sort of a deeper point here as well. And that is that the mitzvahs, the tayag, 600 mitzvahs, they can be a bit confusing because there are a lot of them. And sometimes a person, when you see a whole array of mitzvahs that were sort of commanded, so, you know, you don't know exactly what to do with yourself. Where should I focus on? How do they fit together? Like, you know, how do I break them down? You know, what should I do? Well, I mean, I can't work on 613 things all at once. You know, it's too much for me. You know, so we sort of short circuit. Today I'll do this and then, you know, I'll do this and then, you know. And, you know, in order to develop in life, so you need to have a certain focus and concentration. I have, you know, something that I'm working on, and I work on it more and more in depth. Through that constant working, I'm able to actually, you know, develop. You can't just see how things fit together. You can't just, you know, focus on 100 things at once. So, also, in terms of development, you know, it's sort of, it's not enough just to say, I'll do the mitzvahs. That's already step number one. I'll do them. But when you start talking to spiritual development, you realize, you ask the question, well, how should I do them? Where should I focus on? How do I use them to develop? So that's already a question that's more difficult. And that's really the question that this Gemara is coming to answer us, which is, how do we look at the mitzvahs in a way that we can use them to develop ourselves spiritually? That's the question. And in order to do that, we have to understand the mitzvahs in a deeper way, in terms of what they're here for and what they're here to develop. So, that's sort of the subject of this Gemara. Now the Gemara begins, the very famous Gemara, you've probably all heard it. The Gemara begins, Dorish Rabbi Simloi. Rabbi Simloi, it's on Chof Gimel on the base. Rabbi Simloi used to say, Sheish Mayos Shloshes Rei Mitzvahs Nemula Moshe. Okay. 613 mitzvahs were said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, that Tayag, that 613 is a number that there's a Masorah for. We have a tradition, we're going to see in a minute where it's from. And you know, we have a tradition that the 613 mitzvahs. Now, those 613 mitzvahs, we don't have a tradition what the 613 mitzvahs are. You know, so if anybody wants a good exercise, here's a chumash over here, go find the 613 mitzvahs. Go and make a count on it. And see if you can figure out what they are. You think it's easy? Now, if you start looking through the chumash, you'll find that it's an impossible job. Because you need to be a tremendous gong to figure out exactly, you know, all the shas to do this and all the mitzvahs and but there have been people who have done it. For instance, the Rambam did it, and he wrote his famous sefer mitzvahs. He wrote a sefer, you know, 8 klolim about what a mitzvah is and how you know what a mitzvah is, and then he goes through all the shas and brings back and he made his list, you know, these are the 613, you know. And then the Ramban comes and tears his pieces. You know, Marish tears him apart. Go look at the Rabbani. He does the whole thing, and that's not a mitzvah. This isn't. That's 6 mitzvahs, and it's 2 minutes. You know, on and on. You know, it's an amazing work. The Sefer Mitzvahs, the Ramban. How he, people came back, going to the Ramban. And then Sajid Gaon made a list. You know, people went through. We have a lot of lists. You know, all of them fighting it out. But anyway, we've a klal. There are 613 mitzvahs. Now the first division of the mitzvahs, Gemara says, it's really what we're going to focus on from the beginning. The first division is that they're divided in terms of positive and negative.
Alright.
Certain things are positive. Do them, you know. Certain things are negative. Don't do them. In life, positive and negative. So the Gemara explains.
Alright.
365 negative mitzvahs. And those 365 negative mitzvahs correspond to the days of the solar year. As we all know, how many days are there? 365. I hope I never counted them, but I have a moon on the calendar. 365. Then 248 positive mitzvahs that correspond to the limbs of the body. Tradition again that we have that there are 248 bones in the body. Go and find them. What a bone is also hard. How many bones are there in the head, for example? One? Eight? There are a lot of bones. I don't know, scientists about it. But anyway, go and figure out what the 248 are. It's also not so simple. So, now, that's the first division. And as I say, people who spend time trying to understand the Gorota, which there aren't too many of them, but those people who do, we already understand that there's a problem, that the purpose of this Gemara is that it's trying to tell us what the purpose of a positive and what the purpose of a negative mitzvah is. And the Gemara does it by saying that the positive mitzvahs correspond to the limbs of a person, but the negative mitzvahs correspond to the days of the solar year. That's the way the Gemara does it. Which leaves us a bit cold. It's a bit hard to figure out exactly, especially the negative. What's the kesher between the negative mitzvahs and the days of the year? It's very hidden. Positive mitzvahs, already I get a little bit of a hint, I think, you know, without looking at any of the Forshim already, though. You understand that the positive mitzvahs have to do with the development, adding holiness to the person. You know, each mitzvah, another part of the human being, developed and made holy. You know, you can understand. And you know, there is a book called the Sefer HaRedi, which is a fantastic Sefer. It's written by one of the Mekubal in the Sfat, the days of the Rizal. And there, when he makes his list of what the mitzvahs are, he divides them up according to the different limbs of the body. You know, these are the mitzvahs that are done with the mind. And then he brings you all the mitzvahs that you do with your head, you know. That adds holiness to the brain, you know. Loving Hashem has nothing to do with the body. Just the mind. You exercise your mind. That's it. You got holiness to your mind. Learning. Holiness to the mind. Tefillah already is something you do with the mouth. That's holiness to speech. Something else. Bemis, learning also is to do with speech. So it is, but he divides them up, you know. Each mitzvah, adds holiness to a different part of the body. Person who does them all. Yeah, go ahead.
But the brain controls the body, so you could technically say that the brain is doing all the mitzvahs.
That's why we say, well, it's different. The brain controls the body, but the brain, you can't eat with your brain. You know, you just can't do it. So you need the hand also. That's exactly why the Mephoshim say, Talmud Torah, can I get kulam? That's what the Mephoshim explain. Because when you add holiness to the brain, you affect all of the other body, and therefore you're able to do all of the mitzvahs properly. You add spiritual life to the brain, you could eat properly, you could walk, you could do it. But you still need the other limbs. They have different functions. It adds life and activity. It gives you the capacity to function. And so learning and the mitzvahs of the mind, yeah, give us the ability to do all of our actions properly. But we have to do other mitzvahs as well. Even if your brain functions, doesn't mean your hand will follow out properly with the brain. The person has emotions and all sorts of other things. So that's the 600, that we can understand in a general way. Go and look at the very beautiful Sefer, the Sefer HaRein. And, but the days of the year, we'll have to go on. But the Gemara isn't finished. The Gemara brings down the source for this. What's the source that there are 613 mitzvahs? Where does it say in the Torah there are 613 mitzvahs? Well, it's merumaz, it's hinted to in written law. It's Torah Shem Sinai, but there's a hint to it in the written law. Anybody know what the hint is? So the hint is, we have somebody who's learned Makos here. Says, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Now, get out your calculators over here. What's the gematria of Torah?
611.
So, Gemara says the Torah is 611, right? Top is 400, ratio is 200, 5 and 6, 11, 611. So you'll ask me, well, we don't say plus or minus 2 over here, you know? So what are you going to do? So Gemara has a good answer. What is the following? Gemara says, what's that? Right, if you look in the Asaras HaDibros, the Gemara writes, you'll see that the first two of the Asaras HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecho, V'lo Yelecho, they're all said in the second person directly to you. I am the Hashem, your God, you know. It shouldn't be for you. So the Mefarshim, all the others aren't said like that. So the Mefarshim explained that the first two of the Asaras HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, they were said directly by Hashem to the Jewish people. Directly to us. After we spoke, after that, it was a bit too much for us, you know. It's a little bit too much intensity. To speak to Hashem directly.
Right, yeah.
We learned it out from the language that it's like that. Yeah, it says, it says in the Chumash it was too much for us. That says explicitly. So, you know, you think it's so easy to speak to Hashem directly, you know. So I remember a brother once said to me, he spent his whole life working on the Vilna Gaon. He said to me once, you think, you know, I would like to see the Vilna Gaon? He goes, if the Vilna Gaon came into the room, I would like have to run away, you know, burn up by his decision.
Wow.
what would we do with ourselves, you know? Frisk her up and say, like, if David HaMelech, like, came into the room, like, he would be like a sun that would burn everybody in. You know, it's not so easy to see people like that. So it was too much for us. And afterwards we said to Moshe, Moshe, let Hashem speak to you. And you tell us what he said, okay? I mean, you know. They literally died from the experience of speaking. Hashem, we shall speak about it in a minute. Okay. So it comes out like this. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Yeah. What is the Torah that Moshe commanded us? 611. That's why it says Torah Gematria. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe commanded us through Moshe 611. Those two came from Hashem himself. So we're left with 613. Now, the end time, the Gaon explains here that this last section, whenever it says my crow in the Gemara, you know, I have a proof from the Torah. The Gemara over here is trying to explain it in another way, the purpose of the positive and the negative mitzvahs, and we can use it to explain the first part, you know, where sort of the days of the year and the limbs of the body. It's explaining another way what's the pshat of the positive mitzvahs. So the Gaon explains more deeply here. He says, when it says, Tarti v'lad emotion, what's the pshat that there's 611 and 2 from Hashem? So the Gaon says that these two that Hashem spoke directly to the Jewish people, those two contain all of the other 611. There are two mitzvahs that are kolel, they include all of the others. So he explains. And he says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that includes within it all of the positive mitzvahs. It's the basis of all of the positive mitzvahs. And the mitzvah not to worship idols, that includes all of the negative mitzvahs. And when the Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke us to them, he told us the Kol HaTorah Kula we heard from those two commandments. The rest of the Torah is an explanation in a way that we can understand of what's included in them. You know, just like when Moshe Rabbeinu used to come, you know, Moshe used to speak to Paro. So, you know, he used to get up and he used to say, Paro! The person say, what's going on? Aaron, you tell him, and Aaron would, you know, spend 30 minutes explaining it out. Paro heard it all from Moshe. That's how he did it. But Paro wasn't on a madriga to hear. He couldn't understand Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, he first looked at him and like, he was from another world. Moshe. He couldn't grasp anything he said. But he had to see Moshe say it. Paro! What's this guy talking about? And Aaron starts, you know, listening to it.
Let my people go.
Anyway. But you know, so also, Anochi, Lo Yelichom,
their faces, they also.
And he brings down his common parish to Shir Shirim, so he talks about this a little bit. He says that he explains the first pasuk of Shir Shirim. You know, Shir Shirim is a love story, as we all know. The Akiva says, all songs are holy, and Shir Shirim is holy of holies. The reason he has to say that is because it's a story, you know, a husband, a man and a woman pining away for each other, you know, in a very specific way, you know, dreaming, longing for each other, you know, and never being able to actually meet up. All their attempts to meet us are thwarted, and they're just pining away. So he explains that that's the image that we use. It's all a mashal. That's the image we use for a Jew, his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, pining away, dreaming in the night, you know, in exile, dreaming away, one with Hashem, and Hashem one with us. So he explains the first pasuk, Shir Shirim, is Yishakenim Nashikos Piu, you know, this is the woman speaking, you know, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, you know. Ki toivim dodecha miyayim, because your love, yeah, is better than wine. Now, the Gaon explains here, besides the fact that it switches person, you know, switches from the second to the third person, from the third person to the second person. But anyway, I'm not going to talk about that today. So the Gaon explains here, what is the mashal over here? So Gaon, there's a medrash Shir HaShirim. It says like this, that what are they saying, you know, Yishakenim v'nashikas piyo, what exactly are they saying? She's referring to B'nai Yisrael. So he says, Medrash says that when B'nai Yisrael heard Hashem say, Anochi Hashem Elokecho, you have no idea what happened. When they said Anochi Hashem Elokecho, and they heard Hashem do it, so it said all of the Torah became imprinted on their hearts, you know, in a way that could never be forgotten. Kol HaTarku, you know, became part of their hearts, and it could never be forgotten. And when they, go ahead.
But I thought, like, well, it wouldn't be forgotten by them or also their descendants?
By them. Probably by their descendants as well, we'll see. And when a Kodesh Baruch Hu said to them, Lo Yelecho, don't worship idols. So this is the Yetzer Hara left, Am Yisrael.
Wow.
The end of the Yetzer.
Nice.
Now, the simple pshat on this is the following, that the effect of words is based on the person who says them. Every teacher knows this, that if there's nothing in the person behind the words are worthless. You know, the Chafetz Chaim used to give shiurim. Somebody once told me, you know, what was the Chafetz Chaim shiur? He used to give very simple shiurim. You know, somebody once met a person coming out, you know, from the shiur by the Chafetz Chaim, oi, what a shiur, incredible shiur, unbelievable shiur. He says, what did the Chafetz Chaim say? He said, it says in the Torah, lo signov. What? That's a shiur. I know that. What are you wasting your time going to such a shiur for? Yeah. You had to hit in there. And the pshat is the following. Yeah, that if you're sitting at a table, you know, and the Chafetz Chaim says, you know, says in the Torah, lo signa, you know, nobody in that room is ever going to steal again. You know, never. Never. I mean, because the words, mamash, go into the heart, you know, change the entire person. Shh, lo signa, shh, unbelievable. You know, then you get a person, you know, well, you know, doesn't the Torah love, no. You know, so the smaller the person, you have to start digging up Kabbalahs and Maharazim and the to try to affect it, because you don't have the neshama to actually affect people with, you know. So you have to try to, you know, great people can say simple things, mashana their life, things like that. And that's in general. So the experience of hearing a Kodesh Baruch Hu say, lo signos,
Believe me, if you had heard Hashem say low signal, yeah, if I ain't done that, I have no idea what that would do to you, hearing Hashem say low signal. If you had heard him say low sirtzach, the concept of the value of human life becomes so powerful that your whole life would be altered completely, and you'd never forget it the rest of your life. Hashem said to me, "Lo sirtzach." It's, you know, like, overwhelming. It says, "Became engraved." Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It says, the entire became engraved on their hearts in a way that could never be forgotten. And it uplifted them. Positive mitzvah. Now, I want to explain this a little bit more. This positive mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now, there's a very big machlokes in the Torah about this commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Rambam, as I told you, he made a long list of Tariq mitzvahs, the Sefer mitzvahs. So the Rambam list is one of those 613 mitzvahs, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. He says, it's a mitzvah of Emunah. Hashem is commanding us. A mitzvah. The list is one of the 613. Now there's a very big kasha on the Rambam. What's the kasha on the Rambam? What's the kasha? It's a difficult Rambam. What's so difficult?
It's not a commandment.
Yeah, well, what kind of commandment is this? He's just saying, I am Hashem. That's a commandment? How does he get a commandment out of saying, I am Hashem? It's a definition of reality. It's not a commandment. How can he call that a commandment? So the Ramban, he doesn't list it. He says he's wrong. It's not a commandment. Yeah, body is true. But you can't list it as one of the 613. It's a shot there. A commandment of Emunah.
Your translation of the Ten Commandments
is wrong.
Yeah.
What?
You wouldn't call the Ten Commandments the third.
No, 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 no.
This is Ten Sayings.
Ten Sayings. Sars Hadibras. Doesn't say Sars Commandments. It says Sars Hadibras. Doesn't say there are 10 mitzvahs in the Sars Hadibras. There are many more than 10. Yeah. Right. But anyway, what? Now, I have a shot. I want to explain this Rambam a little bit in a perhaps a simple way. How is Anochi Hashem Elokecha? So I explain like this, that, you know, there are different types of things that could command a person in this world. Sometimes we're commanded, you know, by somebody comes and telling you, do this, do that, do this, do that, you know. And because the person tells you to do it, you have to do it. But sometimes, yeah, we don't need a specific command by someone to be commanded. The very exposure to a certain reality already takes away our free will, and we're obligated to actually act in a particular way. The experience and the exposure to truth in life obligates us and makes demands on us. Exposure to truth, yeah, now forces you to act in a certain way. And there's really no other way of going it about. It turns into a command.
But it takes away your free will.
And that's what I mean. Well, that's a command. The command also takes your free will. You don't have to do it, but you feel commanded. And I'll explain to you what I mean. You know, sometimes the reason why in life we're so lost, we don't know where to go, is because we don't have a clear vision, you know, about what we want and what's true in this world. So we don't have any concept and direction because we don't see anything. We don't see truth clearly, and it's because we don't see truth clearly that we're left without, you know, without direction. If a person, for example, would see, you know, 1,000 of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ahava, of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's justice, you know, of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Emes, you know, already you wouldn't be lost anymore. You would have complete direction and would know with complete clarity what I would have to do with my life. You know, how could you do otherwise? It's a different type of exposure.
I remember, I said, you know, like, if you've ever been exposed to a tzaddik, you see somebody. I remember, like, when I used to feel like this when I used to go see Shimon Schwab. I told you when I was in New York, when I used to go and visit him. So, you know, I'm coming in, you know, out of the subways of New York, you know, take the subway up to the upper west side, you know, Washington Heights. And, you know, you get out of these subways, whatever, you know, New York. Back then it was much worse than it was today. You know, the subways were just unbelievable. I mean, Mamash Gehenna was like all of us there. He's sitting there, these old cars, loud, you know, the racket was like, you know, they might be holding the newspapers and flickering lights, you know, and garbage all over the floor, and this wild graffiti, and then people would be wandering through, you know, waiting to grab jewelry off a woman's neck. You know, don't ask what type of, what the place was like there, you know, you're sitting there, you know. And then, you know, I used to get off, you know, I used to go up to visit, you know, a Schwab, and sit down, you know, and he'd come back, and this person, a Schwab, you know, he was a rub there. But he had, I remember when I used to go see him, he had a person, you know, who he had a persona beside, like his mystical face, you know, but he had so much ava to him, you know. He had such a caring, such a love of other human beings. And he used to greet me, and he used to say, you know, oh, brother, how are you doing? You know, and look at you, you know, he didn't even know me, you know, I used to drive around, but, you know, and you sort of, when I saw him, I used to feel that there's sort of like no way that you sort of can return to the subways of New York and act the same. You just can't do it. Once you get a feeling of what it is of a person who has an ava for other human beings, and you see it, mamish in front of your eyes. So it's not possible anymore to act otherwise. That's how I have to be. You know, if you don't ever see somebody like that, so you're free, so to speak. But once you see the reality of it, you know, demands. The reality of it forces you to act in a certain way, commands. And I say, you know, I sort of reshwab, you know, Rosh Schwab, they're telling me what happened to him when he saw the Chafetz Chaim, and how he went for Shabbos to the Chafetz Chaim, and he had so many stories about the Chafetz Chaim, you know, that one Shabbos, how in the middle of Birchas HaMazal, the Chafetz Chaim stopped and started prophesizing about the Chorban in Europe. You need to see what he heard, what the stories he had about the Chafetz Chaim. You know, and then Shalosh Shudas, you know, you know, true story. In the middle of the Harachamans, all of a sudden he put his head up and he started saying, it's going to be another war, it's going to be another Chorban, it's going to make the First World War look like child's play. He started going on and on like that, and then he went back to them. But you know, whatever the yesod is that when a person has that type of experience, it demands. So I'm saying, imagine at Har Sinai, all of a sudden, Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And all of a sudden, when he said that, I am Hashem. And all of a sudden, you saw the infinite ava, love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, infinite tov, you know, and the love towards the entire creation, you know. And you saw his justice and his endless, you know, and he revealed it for you all to see. So, that already would be Kosof, you know. You're commanded already. That's called the command of Amunah. The commanding of Amunah, you know, Amunah isn't a leap of faith, like you don't know, it's the exact opposite. It's staying faithful to the truth in life, grasp that you've seen. But, so, you know, that was an overwhelming experience. The Mefarshim say that concept of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, when they heard it, that's the basis of all the positive mitzvahs. And they said that the purpose of the positive mitzvahs is to develop the human being. Positive mitzvahs are the goals that we have in life. They're the visions of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know. Love your neighbor as yourself, you know. Tzedek, tzedek, tirtem. And the purpose of them is to bring out the spiritual potentials of the human being, to develop it, tzelem elokim, you know. That's what every positive mitzvah is, it's a goal. Come in, and the basis of it all is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Once you see Hashem, he includes within that all of the positive mitzvahs. Because the positive mitzvahs are all definitions of who Hashem is and how we strive to be like Him. And give us the ability to develop. That's Anochi. That's the basis of all of the positive mitzvahs. The negative mitzvahs, the Medrash says, what's the purpose of the negative mitzvahs? The purpose of the negative mitzvahs is to remove Ra from a person. And here, there's also a very powerful idea that a person, there are two jobs in this world. We have to remove evil, you know, and develop the good. Every time a person has a negative mitzvah, he has a desire that he wants to do something, you know, as we all have within us, a yetzer hara that pushes us to do ra. And a person stops and he says, I'm not going to do it. There's a God in this world, you know, and he says no, and I'm not going to do it. Every time you do that, you remove evil from yourself and from the world. That's the claw. You had a rod, Yates a rod pushing you, and you stop and say, wait, there's a negative mitzvah, you know. And you do that, so then already you remove the rod from yourself. That's the purpose of the negative mitzvah. You do them all, you remove all of the ra from the human being, from the world. That's the concept. When he heard Lo Yelecha, so that already the Yetzer Hara left us. And so the Gomer explains that the purpose of the negative mitzvah is to remove ra. It's a very powerful thing. That's what they say, that there are two things that we need in this world. I always say, yeah, you need to have an answer why not, you have to have an answer why yes. You have to know in life why not to do things that I want to do. That's a good reason to. If there are breaks, we call that fear. And he writes, the Ramban writes, that the negative mitzvahs are the basis in fear, Yerushalayim. Fearing Hashem comes from the negative, and the purpose of fear is to remove Ra. And the positive mitzvahs have the basis of love. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I'm your God. And they felt the infinite love of a Kodesh Baruch for each Jew. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The base of us, so they say, go ahead.
But in order to do good, you first have to remove the bad.
Right, well, the two go together, right. But,
yeah.
But the two separate avodas that we have to do. To do both. And they're separate, they're completely separate. It's true, you're right, we say Sormei Ra V'Asetov, but the truth is, sometimes it's Asi Tov and Sormei Ra. It's not clear how you stop doing it. Very often in life, it's from the Asi Tov that you get the koach to stop doing Ra. Person, we all know, present in life, you know, you're speaking Lashon Hara and you start yelling at yourself, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, you know? And in the end, the more you yell at yourself, the more you do it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all of a sudden get a love for other human beings, and the chalak goes away. You're all right to that. The truth is that the only way a human being can stop doing Ra is by developing himself. It's really the only way. Stop trying to stop yourself from doing Ra without Asei Tov. And one bit of Tov that you do, yeah, one bit of light removes a whole room of darkness, one match. And every positive mitzvah is a light that you do. One act of chesed that you do, you know, with a heart, in other words, a whole room of darkness is gone. All yetzer haras just disappear. You're able to do it properly. So, you know what I mean? It works. You're right. So we have to say Tov about it. It's not so simple. We need both. So that's the first definition the Gemara gives about the, so that point, the different purposes of the positive and negative mitzvahs. By the way, this is included in other places. The Gaon says that, you know, Adam HaRishon, he was given two mitzvahs. The Gan Eden, he was given a mitzvah, L'Ovdo U'L'Shomra. He was supposed to water the Gan, the Gaon writes, and to water it. And then he had to guard it to keep out the snakes. It's a mitzvah. You know, you put a fence, the rabbit shouldn't come in and ruin the garden. To keep out the animals, the wild, you know, guard the garden. The Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world as mamash, a garden of Hidyosh. Beautiful garden. And he had two jobs. He had to water it and develop it, bring out, you know, make things bloom. You know. And he had to keep out the things that would destroy it. So the Gemara says that those two mitzvahs also that was the basis of all the positive and negative mitzvahs.
Yeah.
To guard it, that's already all the negative mitzvahs is to guard the Garden of Eden. And that's where he fell. He didn't fall in the... He fell because he let the Nachash in. So the Gaon writes, how did the Nachash get into Gan Eden? Because he didn't guard. I don't know who's supposed to guard. There's Ra in this world. You have to make sure it doesn't have a Knisa. Back then, evil was outside of the person. Make sure it doesn't come into your heart. Now we have to get it out of our heart, which is a bit more complicated. Back then, he had to make sure it didn't come in, but he fell on it. He let it in, you know. Negative mitzvah moves Ra. Not going to do it. It's a powerful idea. Every time you have a desire to do something and you don't do it because of a negative, Hashem, I can, you remove Ra from yourself. It's a very powerful thing with greatness, the negative mitzvah. And v'avda, that's all the positive mitzvahs, to water the gun. Positive mitzvahs, they water the spiritual potentials of the human being. Bring out the soul. Every positive mitzvah brings out the soul in another way. Brings out the potentials. Nourishes, develops, as an ochin basis. And so it is, the Mefushim also say, Chachamim Shabbos, they write, so also the Sfasemis write that Pshat on Shamor V'Zochor B'Dibur Echor, he also says on Shabbos, Zochor is the sort of all positive things. Remember the Kedusha of Shabbos, bring it out, you know. Shamor is to make sure that the holiness isn't profane, it's, you know, negative. Both said, "Dibor Echad," you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "Both Biyachad." The same yourself. Anyway, so the Gemara begins, and that's the first breaking down of the Gemara into positive and negative mitzvahs. Oh, before I forget, so how does the Medrash? That's what the Medrash says. That when they heard in Shir Shirim, when they heard Anochi, you know, all of the Torah was in their heart and became one with them. They could never forget it. Yeah, I know. This is a positive mitzvah. And they heard Lo Yeluchu, the Yetzirah left. But then it was too much for them, and they came up to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Moshe, we're going to die here. We already did die once, you know, it's too much to hear Hashem another time. I'm afraid he's going to say a third time to me. And then, you know, as I say, all change puts tremendous pressure on a human being. Whenever you have to change, it's incredible pressure. At the midbar was such a pressure cooker, you know, the Jewish people almost fell apart, you know. Eating man every day, mamas, what pressure. You have no idea when Hashem reveals himself to you. I had a guy who used to live across the hall from a tzaddik. He was a big tzaddik. I was in Baltimore. Before tzaddik, he was a very still thing. It's good. He said, this person, after a while, he said, this guy, he said, he got so nervous that he was going to see this tzaddik in the hall, he started trying to run away from him, you know? He was his neighbor, you know, to try to go through. Why? Because, you know, he felt like every time he saw it, he, like, had such pressure that he had to sort of change. He couldn't keep it. He couldn't do it anymore. They're trying to hide from this guy in the hall. He's going, let me out of here. You know, is he gone yet? You know, he couldn't take living next to him after a while. It's not so easy, you know? It's pressure. Pressure is very possible. So we couldn't take it. It's changed. Forced him to change. You couldn't take it. So what happened? So they said, Moshe, you do it. You tell us. Right, it's too much for us. You tell us what he says, okay? Moshe got angry at them. What do you tell you? I can speak about Hashem. You want me to tell you? But Hashem said to Moshe, do it. Let him do it. Don't be angry at them. You know, halavoy, they should always fear me so much. They feel they're going to die if they hear me say something else. Halavoy. Not like us, that here Hashem will speak to us, and Machal not affected at all. As Moses, you know, not as Moses, I can't remember what I was going to say. But anyway, I can't remember my English word. So they went to Moshe, and as soon as they went to Moshe and said, Moshe accepted, all of a sudden they fell the Medrash rules. And all of a sudden they started forgetting Torah again. What was that mitzvah about Lo Stil? What's the big deal? They lost it. And they start, and the Yetzirah came to them again. They lost their level, and Ra was a part of them. And when they realized that, how they fell, they had tremendous regret. And they went back to Moshe, and they said, Moshe, we want it. We made a mistake. Yeah. We want to hear Hashem again directly. We want to hear Hashem to speak to us again directly. Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's too late. Not now. In the future, Hashem once again will give you a heart of flesh. Mashiach will come, but not now. So the Gaon says, that's the pshat. Yishakeni v'nashikos pil. Kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You know, it's better than war. You know. I want to hear him speak to me directly again. I made a mistake. How could I have said no? Please, Hashem, speak to us again directly, telepath. So he writes. So that's the first thing that we have. And that's the positive and negative mitzvahs. It's important, as I say, in terms of dividing of an understanding. So it gives us, I think, a little bit of incentive and understanding about the purpose of these mitzvahs. Negative mitzvah again. You're removing ra from yourself, from the world, every time you do a negative mitzvah. The positive mitzvahs to bring out into your heart. Develop. And that gives us goals, so they're not lost anymore. That's what it means, not being lost. I say simply, you know, a practical point on this. People sometimes ask, in Elul, what should I work on? How do I develop? What's tshuva? So I have a very simple definition of tshuva, which, you know, I'm not talking about tshuva, so perhaps in a deeper way. I say, you know, tshuva is that process often that we work on, as I was saying to you, to start, especially at the beginning, of the asei tov, you know, developing the tov there, the person. Which means, as I said, you know, do what you like, you know, find the part of the Torah that you connect to, and develop it in a way that bring out your spirituality. That's already coming closer to Hashem, not lost anymore. And the positive mitzvahs are the things that bring us close, develop us, not the negative ones. The Ikar Teshuva really comes from developing the positive ones. They're the ones that keep us so that we're not lost anymore. You could have that vision, Anochi, you know, you're not lost. I know there's a fan, I don't know if you ever heard about it, you know, Rabbi Pettenberger, he gave a shmooze once, Musar, he was, Yitzhak Pettenberger was a student of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and he was, he moved to Yerushalayim when he was older, and he used to give shmooze, and people used to ask him to give shmooze. So once, a bunch of young, he was in his 80s, 70s, a young of Reisim came and asked him to give a shmooze on Elul. So he came and spoke to them and said, I want to start, you know, with a story. There was once a person who went into a forest, and he got lost in the forest. And he couldn't find his way out. And he was lost there for 2 years. 2 years he was lost. Finally, after 2 years, he finally sees somebody walking in the forest. And he says, ah, Baruch Hashem, and he runs up to the person, and he says to him, please, tell me, how do I get out of this forest? So the guy says to him, how long have you been in the forest? He said, 2 years! 2 years! So the guy says, you're asking me to get out? He says, I've been in this forest 5 years, and I can't find my way out. He says, what are you asking? So Yitzhak Pettenberger says, you're asking me to give you a shmooze on Elul. He says, yeah, you're young people, because I've been lost. Yeah, for 50 years I've been lost, and I haven't been able to find my way out. You're asking me to give you a shmooze on Elul. You're asking me. Then he started crying, and he broke down crying. And everybody started crying. And that was the beginning of his musa shmooze on Elul. It's a good musa shmooze. Yeah, good shmooze. But anyway, you know, I'm just saying, but there's a klal, you know, lost, that used to say. But that's what we're saying. The positive mitzvah is the one that gives direction. When people heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, they weren't lost anymore. And if you could find something in life that brings you alive spiritually, you already have direction, and you're moving away from, right, you know, the basis of tshuva. We'll speak about more. Now, we're still left stuck with one nakuda that we haven't explained over here. And that is, what's the pshat on the days of the year? What is the concept of the negative mitzvahs corresponding to the days of the solar year? How does that fit in? The negative mitzvahs and the days of the solar year. The positive mitzvahs, I guess we can understand the development of the person, but we haven't really unraveled the mashal over here about the days of the solar year. So the Maharal explains something over here. try to grasp it. He says a very interesting thing. He writes, he says that there's two kings in this world that Hashem created. There's a human being and the sun, he says. And there's a Milo. They're different. The sun, he says, is considered to be the king of the natural worlds. Now, everything that we have in this world exists because of the sun. You know, all the sun is the basis of all the life in this world, everything that exists. I was with in America went for a nature walk in one of these swamps or whatever they call it. Estuaries. You know, a better word than a swamp. Estuary. And you know they had there this chain. So I was thinking about it. It was quite interesting. They were talking about how where is it that when we eat, where do we get our energy from? So it struck me, we're actually eating sunlight. What do we eat? So where does it come from? Because what happens is that the sun shines and plants take the energy of the sun and they transform it, into another form, right? And then the animals come and eat the plants. When they're eating the plants, why? Because they need their energy. What energy are they actually getting? They're just getting sunlight in another form. When we eat the animals and the plants, we're also just taking the light of the sun and ingesting it in a way that we're getting all of our energy and it all comes from the sun. We're living off of sunlight, Anyway, the sun is the source, he writes, of the physical world. The human being, and then there are human beings. A human being is something completely different. So he writes like this. He says, what is unique about being human? Each one has a milah. A human being has a milah over the sun in the natural world. What's that? The chiddush of a human being is that he can change and cause change. That's what it means to be human. That's what we mean, that he has free will. He has the ability to cause change. A human being has the ability to change the world. He can do it physically, we all know that gene splicing, you can take the gene of a fish and put it in a sheep, but then you have all of a sudden swimming sheep, what we can't do, we're just beginning to figure out, but there's a lot man can do, nothing that can cause change. But Chazal talk about it in a more qualitative way. A human being is the only thing that we can actually make the world better. We can bring more tov into this world by our actions. It's a big chiddush. A human being has that ability to develop the world and ourselves, cause change. That's the greatness of a human being. It's called a holech. Opposed to angels, that angels don't have legs, unfortunately. They have wings and not legs. They can fly to Hashem's will, but they can't cause change. They just run to Hashem. But a human being has legs to walk. Walking means that you start in one place and you end in another place. That's why halacha is called halacha. Spiritually, that means that you can begin your life in one place and end in a completely different place. Maybe because that's the nature of a human being, that's power, his greatness, which is also the yisod of tshuva, that a human being can change. Which I say, I won't speak about it too much, but I don't really believe, most people don't really believe that. Think deeply, or realize, very few people believe in tshuva, that it's possible to actually change. It's a very big chiddush that requires a lot of thought. Then he says, there's a mile of the sun, however, of a human being, which is sort of the exact opposite. He said, what's the mile of the sun? Because the mile of the sun in the natural world is that it doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's constant. And the constancy of it, and how it goes, doing the Ratzon Hashem, day after day, day after day, it's something unbelievable. I was thinking about it the other day, that, think about it, the sun, how they can predict, to the second, sunrise and sunset for the entire year, day after day, to the hundredth of a second in the moon, and it goes like that for thousands of years, day after day, without any deviation, not even to a thousandth of a second. You're talking about huge bodies, and how the earth is turning and spinning and going around, and it's much fixed in laws, the same dome, same part of the sky, every time, over and over again, without deviation. Natural world is—it's considered to be a complete and pure embodiment of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Ratzon, without change, without deviation. The human being as well, how the laws function, go in an incredibly complex way. formation of a human being, billions and billions of reactions and changes. Each person, you know, you would think that one person would have a nose up here, another person would have a nose on his shoulder. I mean, think about it, you have the billions of reactions of DNA, you know, and no, every person has their nose in the same place, come on, you know. And if they don't have it, there's reasons for it. The radiation, it's been destroyed, the system's been destroyed. But you know, something unbelievable, the consistency of it. Don't change. And he writes there, that's why we say in Shabbos davening and Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, the natural world, it praises Hashem. It praises Hashem, yeah, through this consistency. It's like a complete and pure vision of Hashem. This is why sometimes when you see, go to a zoo, you know, you look at the animals. Once I went to a zoo with one of my young kids once, and the kid was looking at a, you know, 2 years old or something. So I was looking at the animals, and you know, the kid was looking at, didn't want to look at all the animals, they were looking at all the other people. So, you know, at first I, you know, said, look at the animals, and I realized that, you know, to my 2-year-old, like, a human being is more interesting than all these animals. And I thought, you know, he has it right, you know, really, it's, you know, what are we going to look at animals for, you know, human beings more. But then, you know, it struck me, sometimes people look and they feel like when they see animals, they see a more perfect, you know, a more perfect vision of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's person. Because when you see animals, you see this snow leopard, you know, unbelievable creation. You see, when we look at human beings, we don't see a human being as Hashem created him. Because he's changed it. He's lowered it. And therefore we don't see exactly the human being that Hashem created. You see? A human being that's been changed and lowered and altered and deformed by all of them. He hasn't lived up to an animal. Well, this is Hashem created. It hasn't changed. Sometimes they change. Right? Anyway, this time in a minute, I just want to say like this. The Maharal explains. He says, the Yesod of the sun, he says, is coming to teach us something as well. He says, this is the basis of the negative mitzvahs. The negative mitzvahs are coming to tell us that a person should not change. He should be able to keep his form, you know, as Hashem created him, remain constant. Forshim say that the highest madrega that a person can be is a ne'eman. A ne'eman. It says in Perkei Avos, someone keeps doing, he could be a tzaddik, chosid, yosher, of a ne'eman. A ne'eman is one of the highest levels. You know what a ne'eman is? A person who can be trusted 100% that he'll follow through. You know, like a friend. I'll be there for you. No matter what. You can rely on me. I gave you my word. I'll do it for you. You know, day after day. Because that's the highest level in which a person can reach. Every day he comes to shir, you know, 9 o'clock, again, and again, and again. No change, no deviation, over again. And then he's never, he functions, this is Hashem's will. I don't deviate from it. I'm learning Torah, I'm too hard, I'm too kind. No, I'm a ne'eman. I stay. I want to do this, I want to do that. So go and find a human being who's a ne'eman in this world. He's ne'eman, me himself. Find somebody you can trust and to rely on. It's one of the most difficult things to find. It's considered one of the highest midas. Become a ne'eman. That I do Hashem's ratzon every day. Day out, day in, day out. My whole life. I don't change. I do it and I do it. And he says that's the purpose of the negative mitzvahs. Their mitzvahs are to make us ne'emanim. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to go over here. I'm a ne'eman. It's not. I'm a ne'eman. And that's why it's compared to the solar calendar. The purpose of the positive mitzvahs already is to develop and to change, to bring out the potentials in another way. Something like Shechina, holiness. So those are the two parts. So he writes. Those are the two. So, on. So anyway, so the definitely more begin, and those are the two definitions already that we're trying to figure out, the positive and negative mitzvahs. And what the Gemara does is that it goes through and it, Dovin HaMelech comes and gives another definition of the mitzvah. He reduces the Torah into 11 categories, 11 principles. Not just the positive and mitzvah, negative, but he takes the typical test above and he divides the entire Torah, all the 613 mitzvahs, into 11 categories and principles to give us a more specific way of understanding how the mitzvahs are broken up so we can use them properly. And it's really deep and very interesting. So today, at least we made a beginning with the positive and negative mitzvahs as he broke down. Maybe next time we'll go into David Melech's next. David Melech's next edition.